Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Well, God is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. And all the time? You just can't resist that. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the Lord is truly good, and there's nothing greater than our relationship with God. It's the most important thing in life, to have a relationship with God. And certainly, as we begin our new theme for the month of February, can you believe it? February already. And here we are, and we're looking at the realities of God and his interventions and involvement in our lives. And as we are persevering through the challenges of the 21st century, we are needing a Savior. We need Christ to sustain us, to make a way for us. And without the Lord, where would we be? Where would we be with the level and the intensity and the degree to which evil is at work in the hearts of men? You and I would have a hard time overcoming in this world. But because of Christ, we are able to overcome. Because Jesus has come into the world for the very purpose of saving sinners, of giving us new life, you and I can endure it. We can even overcome it. We can experience God in a powerful new way. And our theme this month is taste and see. Taste and see. Because being a Christian, being a child of God, is not just believing in something, but it's experiencing something. Our expectation is to have an experience. God came to bring an experience. And our faith is not blind faith, but it's faith in what Christ has done for us and with us and in us. And that is how we are able to taste and see. And this brings us to a place where we can see what God is doing. We can see what he has done. And as we recognize the works of God and the things that he has done, it gives us joy in our hearts, doesn't it? It inspires us. It brings life to us. It causes us to proclaim and magnify the Lord. That means we tell others about what God has done for us. We're so excited about the Lord. We're so excited about what Christ has done that we can't keep it to ourselves. We're always talking about what God is doing in our lives. And that requires a relationship with God. And as we move forward today, we will see just what that means and how that plays out for us so that we can experience God for ourselves. And so you and I are on an adventure through life. We are in a place where we are able to know without doubt that Christ is who he says he is, and that he has come to save me. Hallelujah. He came to save me. And the wonderful thing about that is that every one of us can say that for ourselves. He's come to save me. Try it. He's come to save me. Hallelujah. Don't you feel something when you say that? Hallelujah. That's the spirit confirmation. The Lord is saying, yes, I came to save you. And our goal is to share our experience with everyone who will listen, with everyone who God gives us the opportunity to share. And so in John 3:6-35, it says, Jesus said to them, the disciples and all the people who were following him, they gathering around him after he fed the 4,000, and he had just a few loaves and fish the first time, I believe. And so here he is sharing, and he's got both people who are looking for him and seeking after him, and then those who are opposed to him. They're all there. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus is saying to all of us. This is the message of the gospel. This is the very reason that you and I are here today. It's because Jesus is the bread of life, and we have come to him, and we are not hungry for whatever the world has to offer. We are only hungry for more bread. Hallelujah. More bread. Well, have you ever had fresh bread? Have you ever smelled fresh bread cooking? Oh, it's a wonderful smell, isn't it? I know a lot of you have never had fresh bread. But let me tell you, it is an experience. Am I right? It is an experience. And the wonderful thing about fresh bread is even the smell of it calls your name. It draws you to it. And as you partake in it, you will experience bread like you never have before. It's that good. And that's who Christ is. Jesus is fresh bread to us. And so that is our theme for today, fresh bread. Fresh bread. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. We just ask, Heavenly Father, that you would help us, oh God, to hear your voice and follow you, to be able to recognize your compelling call, knowing that you are the bread that feeds our very souls, our very life, and that without you, we can accomplish nothing. Our desire, Lord, is to follow you. Our desire, Lord, is to do your will. Lord God, mold us, shape us. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Cleanse us, O God, from all wickedness. Make our way straight. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice and follow you, to be able to overcome every strategy of the enemy, that the glory of the Lord would fill our hearts as your word renews our mind, and that we would be strengthened and enabled to taste and see and know the Lord and to behold his beauty and his glory and all that he has done and proclaim that and magnify the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, one of the biggest challenges that we face as people is that evil sells. Evil sells, isn't that right? You know, when you look at the news, it's all bad news. They don't have all the wonderful, awesome things people are doing around the world on the news. Why is it that they don't show any good stuff on the news? They're constantly promoting everything that somebody does wrong or something that goes wrong, and everything is about wrong. Have you ever noticed that? Why is that? Why is that? And it's because of sin in the world. The world is a sinful place. And people who are in sin magnify sin. And this is why God says in Philippians to focus on that which is lovely, that which is just, that is which is of a good report. Meditate on these things, because the world does the opposite. The world focuses on the negative. Bad news travels faster than good news. Isn't that right? Bad news travels faster. And there are people who spread bad news. They love bad news. They're eavesdropping. They're listening. They're looking. And they're looking to take advantage of opportunity to bring out the negative and the evil rather than the good. But that is why Jesus came into the world. Jesus came to turn all of that upside down. Or should I say, right side up. Because the world is working in an opposite manner to the kingdom of God. And so when Jesus came and he began to do all these good things, and he began to demonstrate the manifestations of the kingdom of heaven and of God, what began to happen? People began to follow Jesus. They began to hear his voice, and they would come after him, and they were hear the stories and the testimonies of his ability to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to the men, the brokenhearted. The life of Christ and the ministry of Christ was so powerful and was so life-changing that word went out, despite it being good news. Good news spreads by people whose hearts have a desire for that which is good. And this is what Christ came to ignite in the midst of our lives. And so, as we look here in John 6, 26 to 35, it says, Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." This is an important place to begin, because our life with Christ is not just based on a teaching or a blind faith or something that we read in a book or something that someone said, but it's based on an experience with God. And what happens is, as we begin to eat of this bread, as we begin to partake in the Word of God, we find ourselves having an experience. When you read the Bible, when you read the Word of God, something begins to happen within you. Something begins to shift. Something begins to change. And not all at once, but subtly, little by little, your mind begins to see and perceive things differently. You begin to think differently. And when you think differently, you feel differently. And we must always remember that actions are based on premeditative thoughts. All actions are based on a premeditated thought. Something that is ruminating in your mind, that you're thinking about and meditating on over and over again, and it eventually causes you to do something based on the feeling that you get from those thoughts. And our thoughts lead to feelings, and those feelings lead to actions. And this is why we have to be careful what we allow into our minds. This is why you have to be careful who you listen to and who you talk to. And there are some people you cannot engage with, because they're going to take you to a place in your mind that is going to lead you to feeling a bad way. And when you start feeling in a negative way and in a bad way, you're going to eventually respond or react or do something out of that emotional response that triggered in your mind. And this is why the Word of God is so important. And this is why we need wisdom, so that we don't find ourselves engaged with the wrong people. One of the first lessons that I had to learn as a Christian, especially when I got involved in the church, is I had to learn who not to make my friend, who not to be friends with. And what I eventually learned was that people who are negative, or who are constantly talking about other people and their problems and what their faults are and what they have done wrong, are the wrong people to become friends with. And if you hook up with someone who is a critic and someone who is negative and who causes you to think in a negative light about someone else or something else, then you know that red flags ought to go up in your mind and in your heart to guard yourself. Because I guarantee you, every time you see that person, those negative thoughts are going to come to mind, even though they may or may not be true. And this is why we have to be careful about how we think and what we are thinking about and thinking on, and we should always block people who try to share negative content about someone else that is especially speculative. And so we have to be very careful and choose wisely who we connect with, because whatever spirit they're operating under is going to be fed into your life. and it's going to affect the way you think. And the only way to overcome this is the Word of God. And this is why Jesus said, you didn't just hear things about me. It's not just about a testimony. It's not just about what you saw. It wasn't something that you watched, but it was because you ate. It was because you ate. You had an experience. You tasted and you saw that the Lord was good. And you were filled and you were satisfied. Hallelujah. And so he goes on and he says, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father, God, has set his seal. The seal of God is the Holy Spirit. When you come to Christ, when you come to God, when you come to Jesus, he gives you his Spirit. You and I, when we ask Christ to come into our heart, it's the Spirit of God that comes into us. We receive Christ, and God comes into our hearts and our lives as a seed. The Word of God says the sower sows a seed. And the seed is the Word of God, just like the bread represents the Word of God. And so when that seed is sown into your heart, one waters and then God brings the increase, right? Isn't that what it says? And so as we are taking the Word into our hearts, as we are meditating it on it, it renews our mind. It strengthens us. It helps us to change our perspective on life and on the things that we experience, from being able to say it's the devil all the time to asking God, what are you saying to me? And how should I proceed? What would you have me to do? And so now we're shifting our perspective and we're able to see that God is allowing something to come to us in order to help us to overcome whatever it is Satan is trying to accomplish. And so Jesus said, don't work for food that's going to perish. Don't just go about working and you're just getting the benefits that the world has to offer, but work for the food that has eternal value. That is the Word of God. Jesus has called us to experience himself, experience his Word. And God does things in our lives all the time in order to show us that he is who he is, the Son of God, and that we can trust him and that we can follow him. Verse 28 says, therefore they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Isn't that a great question? Wouldn't you have asked Jesus that question? I'm like, Lord, I want to do the works of God. What should I do? Teach me. And this is Jesus' response. He says, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. And so what does that mean? Jesus is saying that when we believe, God offers us bread. And when we place our faith and our trust in him, we're able to eat that bread. And he's saying that the bread or the word will change our lives. That is the work of God. The work of God is to share the bread, the Word of God, with others so that they too can have life, so that they can be right-sided up and not see life from a negative perspective, but from the perspective of what God is doing in the midst of us. And as a result, it changes lives. The Word of God will change your life. And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. And if you believe in him, if your faith is in him, if your trust is in him, what did Jesus say you will do? You will keep his commandments. You will do the will of God. And that's because you will become hungry and thirsty for more of God. Verse 30 says, so they said to him, what then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? And so here are the people gathered around and they want proof. They're saying, well, Jesus, prove to me that you're the Son of God. Prove that to us that all of this that you're saying and doing is true. But Jesus doesn't really give them the answer they're looking for, because Jesus had already demonstrated that he was the Son of God. He had already proven himself to be true. He had already done. I mean, he took loaves and fishes and fed 4,000 men, plus women and children in addition that aren't included in the number 4,000. How in the world is that? But the reason they're asking is because when you're in the crowd and you're just being fed, you don't always realize where it came from. And when you don't realize where it comes from, then you can't appreciate its value. And this is where the people were missing God. They were missing God because they were asking Jesus for a sign that he had already given. And you and I ought to look for the sign that Jesus has already given. God has already given. He has done things for you personally that only God could have done. God has shown himself to you over and over again in your life, and he has demonstrated to us all that we are precious in his sight, and that he watches over us, and that his love covers a multitude of sins. And because God has delivered us from evil many, many times, time and time again, those are the things that prove who Jesus is. Those are the things that demonstrate that Christ is who he says he is. Has God ever done anything for you? Has he delivered you from evil? Has he ever healed your body? Has he ever opened doors of opportunity for you that were closed, or done things that you didn't think could ever happen? Hasn't God shown himself again and again and again? Have you ever been in a situation where you're crying out to God and you're saying, God, help me, God, help me, God, deliver me, God, help me. And you cry out and you cry out and you just keep going, you keep going and you keep going. And then eventually you get onto something else and you forget about that thing. You forget about that thing. And then one day you're reminded, remember how you cried out to God over this thing or that thing back in the day? Whatever happened with that? And you stop and you think and you say, you know what? I was so worked up and worried about that. Here we are now down the road, and it's all taken care of. It worked out for my good. It was just, you don't even think about what even happened until it's long past. And now the very thing that concerned us so deeply has been resolved. The healing has taken place. The situation has been turned around, and everything is made new. And now we're facing a new problem. And we're like, oh God, oh God. And so we say, God, show me a sign. Show me a sign. And God says, I showed you a sign the last time. The last time was a sign. But you forgot. You didn't realize that it was me. And this is where we are amiss. Because God is always doing things in our life, and we have to learn how to remember what God has done. Remember how he has delivered us. Remember how he has called, how he has showed up when we called upon his name, how he has made a way for us. We must remember and give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. I encourage you to, whenever you're praying about something, write it down. Write it down and make a list of the things that you need God's help for, so that later on you can look back at your list and you can say, God fixed it. God delivered me. God made a way. God opened a door. God caused something to happen. Now it is healing has taken place. Renewal has taken place. Revival has taken place. I'm praying for revival. I'm praying for renewal. I'm praying for restoration and healing and deliverance. I'm praying that God would make a way. And it begins with me. I have to remember what God has done for me. And saints of God, you have to always remember what God has done for you. Don't just run to God with your problems, but run to God with a heart of thanksgiving. Begin with thanking him for what he has already done. Just as we cry out and we call out specific situations before God for him to fix them, we ought to call out the same specific situations and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You made a way. You opened doors. I didn't think we were going to, I don't even know how. God, it was him. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for touching hearts. Thank you for opening the door, for making a way for me. I always think, I used to work in an employment agency, and we used to have stacks and stacks of applications for people. And one of the challenging things was finding the right candidate for the right job. And one of the things that we used to do is we used to pray over all the applications. And I worked for a Christian. And we would pray and ask God to guide us to the right people. And I can assure you that when you are called in for an interview or you're called in for an opportunity for a job or something, even a school, my son was applying for school for a scholarship and they were only taking 13 people. If they call you in, that is the hand of God who is putting you in a place of favor, putting you in a place of opportunity. And we should never forget what God is doing in our lives. The odds are stacked against you. I guarantee you. It's unbelievable how many people are going for the same job or how many people are trying to get. There were 600 applications for the scholarship my son was trying to get. 600. They only were taking 13. And saints of God, my son got the 13th slot. Hallelujah. And you and I, when we call on God, God does something in our lives. God makes a way. You got a job. That is God's provision. They called you. You came in. They looked at you and there was something about you that said you fit what the requirements are and you fit the culture of the place where you're going to work. You will be a fit for the atmosphere and for those who you will be working with. We want to give you an opportunity. That is God. That is a God-given opportunity. And we have to remember to give thanks, to never forget what the Lord has done. And so we don't need a sign. God has already given us a sign. In fact, Jesus said, an evil and perverse generation seeks after a sign. And the world is always looking for proof or for a sign of the realities of God and of Jesus. But the evidence is already there. Look at the beauty of creation, God says. He says, that's my handiwork. Look at life itself. Look at all the things that have life in them. I know they tell you there was some slimy thing that crawled out of the water and it all of a sudden had legs popping out, you know, and then it kind of worked up and all of a sudden it started breathing air. That takes more faith than God created the heavens and the earth. At least God making something makes sense. But something that explodes out of nothing. Wait a minute. Say that again. Something exploded out of nothing. Then that would mean something was there for it to have exploded. But it was nothing. But yet nothing exploded. But if nothing explodes, is there really an explosion? I mean, don't you just have to have a real brain to logically think through this stuff? How do you like skip all of the things that are reasonable and jump into, well, we're all monkeys? But that's a monkey, and we're people. We're not the same. How come all the monkeys aren't becoming people? They must think we're stupid. But that is true. And there is a principle that says if you tell a lie enough times, coming from different sources in different ways, it will be deemed as being true. And saints of God, don't believe the lie, because the world is upside down. And everybody who's operating upside down and outside of God is going to promote lies. And this is why Christ came, so that he could redeem us, so he could right side things back up. And he says, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. And so here, the disciples, or the people who are with the disciples and Jesus, are taking them back to the manna that is in the wilderness. And they're giving Moses the credit for feeding them. But really, the manna came from God. And Jesus points this out in verse 32. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the bread, or the true bread, out of heaven. And the interesting thing about the manna is it was only good for one day. Manna was only good for one day. When it came down, it was good for one day. And it would only last that day. By the end of the day, it was stale. By the next day, you needed new, and God would bring down fresh. So every day, when they went through the wilderness, God gave them fresh bread. Saints of God, you need fresh bread every day. The word of God is a fresh bread. You can't live off of yesterday's words. You got to have a relationship with God that every day you are abiding in the word of God. The bread is the word, is Christ. It all is representative of how God has come to be our source of provision. God wants to be our source of life, our source of provision, to help us see things from a heavenly perspective. Instead of focusing on the negative and on the problems and all the things that go wrong, we are able to see the glorious, wondrous works of God. We have revelation, we have understanding, we have perception that God might even be using this evil for the purpose of bringing about good in our life. Maybe it's to help us to become transformed into the image of Christ. And so Moses was not the source, but God is the source. And so once we understand that God is the source, it's not the doctor, it's not the mechanic who fixed your car, it's not the person who came over and helped you out or who loaned you a tool or who made a way for you, it's God recognizing your need and raising up someone, touching someone, working through someone in order to be your source of life, health, and strength, to be your provision. And Satan wants you to focus on the negative, on all the things that are going wrong, so you miss what God is doing. And you forget what the Lord has done. And so don't be distracted. Don't allow the enemy to deceive you. In verse 33, he says, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Hallelujah. It gives life to the whole world. This bread is for everyone. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, everyone, it came down like rain all around the whole camp. Everybody had manna. It was just out. When you came out of your tent, there it was. All you had to do was scoop it up and just bring it in, and you could eat all day long. But you had to go out and get it. The choice was up to you. You could have starved and died if you wanted. Just don't eat manna. You could have said, I don't want manna. I'm tired of manna. They had manna burgers, manna chips. They had the manna with manna abstract, manna with manna cheese, manna with manna and whatever manna, but all kinds of manna. I'm sure they had all kinds of manna, taco mannas, maybe. Hallelujah. And so you and I have to learn how to appreciate God's provision. He's given and he's made a way, and it's come down from God. God is our source. In verse 34, hallelujah, in verse 34, he says, they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Woo, yes, they're starting to smell that bread cooking in the oven. They're starting to smell the scent of it. And so now they want bread. And that's what happens when you start to hear the testimony of the Lord. This is why you must share your stories. You have to tell others of what Christ has done for you. You have to testify of God. If you can't remember, you're not going to tell anybody, and no one is going to smell the bread. No one is going to hear. No one is going to know. And you're just going to find yourself playing whack-a-mole, trying to beat the devil down because, you know, people are upside down and they're going to focus on the negative. They're going to abide in their problems, and all they see is everything that's going wrong, and they can't see the good. But once you start testifying of the goodness of the Lord and what God has done and the way he's made for you and how he's enabled you to get through and to overcome, even in the small things, you're able to see the hand of God. Why? Because every day you're eating fresh bread. Every day you're meditating on the word of God. Every day you're getting a fresh word, and the Spirit of God is bringing life to you. Don't ignore those little devotionals that people are sending you. Maybe that's God trying to give you fresh bread for the day. I hope you're using our church app where you go in and go to the Bible and there's a daily scripture every day and it reads it to you, and you're able to get an Old Testament and a New Testament passage and it gives you fresh bread. By the end of the year, you'll be through the whole Bible. If you jump in, it's only February. You could do two a day for the month of February and catch up if you didn't start yet. Hallelujah. And God wants us to have fresh bread. Jesus then responds and he says to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. You will never thirst. This is a beautiful thing. This is a wonderful thing. God says, you will never hunger and you will never thirst. Fresh bread. Oh, this is what Jesus is like. And you and I can experience fresh bread. This is unleavened bread. And so it doesn't have yeast in it to rise. But nonetheless, the bread, the smell of the fresh bread will permeate your life. And people will become hungry for Jesus because they smell his sweet smelling aroma, as the word of God says, that's coming off of you because you're abiding in Christ, the bread of life. And God is showing himself and demonstrating himself. And this is why we celebrate communion. And I'm going to ask our brothers to come on up if they would join us up here. And this is why communion is such an important element and aspect of our lives. It is a reminder. It helps us to remember what Christ has done. It helps us to think about not only what he did on the cross, but how he's been good to you throughout your life, how he has made a way for you. Even when you were a little kid, God was making a way for you. He was covering you. How many times as a young man, young woman, did you do something you shouldn't have done? And somehow you got through it. You overcame it. Oh my goodness, that is the hand of God. The Lord will make a way. The Lord will enable you to overcome. And so when we gather together, when we come together, God will make a way for you. You see, the disciples, they were in the upper room. Do you remember the upper room? Now, these guys, they represent the disciples. Hallelujah. They represent, you know, the disciples. We got a couple of more seats. Anybody else want to come out? Any more guys out there? Kevin, come on, brother. Yeah, Mike, you want to come on, Mike? Yeah. Join us at the table. There was 12 disciples, so We'll just, these guys represent two guys each. How about that? We just, you know, huh? Oh, yeah. All right. 11 guys, yeah. We don't need a Judas, that's for sure. Well, the Word of God tells us that when they were in the upper room, that they were gathered around and they were eating. That's right. There you go. You see? There's benefits to volunteering, to being a part. And so in Luke 22:19, it says, "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he," Jesus, "he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And so here is Jesus again relating his physical self to bread. And he is helping us to understand that his very life, the very person that he is the very thing that gives us life. Christ gives us life. Life is in Jesus. And he is, his body is the thing that he sacrificed. He suffered and he sacrificed for us. Jesus sacrificed in order that we may have life and have it more abundantly. That is why he came. And so as we think about communion, does everybody have their cup? Everybody have? All right, that's good. And yes, there you go. I'll take one myself, matter of fact. And also with you. And so, wrong church denomination, but but nevertheless, God has come that we might understand that we're to eat of God every day. And when he talks about eating of him every day, it's the Word of God that we're supposed to abide in. We're supposed to meditate on his Word. And Jesus is the Word made flesh. And we're supposed to take in the Word of God as if it was bread. And that bread will cause people to have an experience with God. It will cause you and I to have an experience with God that will change our lives and create an aroma that others will be able to smell. And that will make them hungry for the bread that we have eaten. And that is Christ himself. And so verse 19 says, "When he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given.'" And that word given is not only translated given, but it also translates as to pay or make payment. I found that interesting. So Jesus says, "This is my body, which is given as a payment," or to make payment for you and for me. "Do this in remembrance of me." And that is why we do this in remembrance of Jesus. Because the worst thing that we see throughout the scriptures that any of the people of God could ever do is forget what the Lord has done in their lives. This is why the Israelites were commanded to make pillars when they went through the wilderness, as they crossed the Jordan, as they went into the Promised Land, to make pillars that were to remind them of what God has done so they did not forget. And saints of God, do not forget what God is doing in your life, what he has done, what he is bringing you through, what he is enabling you to overcome. And this communion is a reminder to remember. It's a reminder to remember what God has done. Join us as we pray this prayer of brokenness. Hallelujah.
To even have sent your son, Lord, to be one that would take its place on that cross for us, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that we would not forget that you are the bread of life, yes. Lord God. We thank yes. you, Lord God, for enriching yes. our lives, Lord God. Yes, we thank Lord. You, Lord, for even taking the wounds and mm-hmm. being broken even for our account, Lord God, of every sin that we've ever committed, Lord. Yes, Lord. We thank you, yes, Lord God, Lord. That we would believe in this, Lord, and yes, not forget Lord. What you've done yes, through your son, Jesus yes, Christ, Lord. Yes, so we Lord. Thank you, Lord, because you are great. You are Jesus. Magnificent. Jesus. You are Jesus. The Lord, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are so great that you sent your son. Jesus. You're so great Jesus. That Jesus. Out of obedience, Lord, that even you sent yourself in the flesh to take Hallelujah. The pain, to take the burden, Hallelujah. To take Hallelujah. The brokenness
yes.
and bear it for us.
Hallelujah.
Let us not forget what you've done.
Thank you, God.
I thank you, Jesus. In your name we Jesus pray. Name. Amen.
Amen. And so we remember, hallelujah, what God has done. You and I must learn how to forget those things which are behind and press on to the mark of the high calling. Isn't that what Paul said? And we aren't to meditate on the evils of this world or the wrongdoings that people do. In fact, even God says, I cast your sins into the sea of forgetfulness and I remember them no more. Do you want anybody to go fishing in the sea of forgetfulness, looking for your sins, looking for the things you've done wrong so that they can bring it back up again? And again and again, God says, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. That's right. He posts a sign that says, no fishing. Sea of forgetfulness, no fishing. And saints of God, don't fish in the sea of forgetfulness. Let God be God and allow him to make himself known. Let him prove himself again and again and again. And so Jesus said, this is my body. It's been broken. His suffering was to take our place. And as a result, we do this in remembrance of him because he's giving us life, life more abundantly. And so verse 26 says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread. And after blessing it, Matthew 26:26, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. Saints, let's take and eat in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life, Lord, what you've done for me. Oh, God, how you've made a way, even when it seems impossible. And so, saints of God, the Lord is always looking for an opportunity to show himself in our lives. And so, next, they took the cup, the word of God tells us. He says, in the same way he took the cup, Luke 22:20, after they had eaten. They're eating grapes. And he said, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant, you can say it's a new contract. It's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament contract or covenant was based on the law of Moses. And so it was about following the rules, following the laws. Now this new covenant is based on the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard people say, I'm covered in the blood of Jesus? Have you ever heard people say, oh, I plead the blood, I'm covered in the blood, right? Talk about the blood of Jesus. Well, what that means, I mean, there's nobody in Scripture was actually saying that, but it's just a modern phrase that relates to the fact that what Christ did on the cross, it saves us, it covers us, he makes a way for us. We're trusting in what Christ did on the cross in order to overcome whatever it is that we're facing, whatever Satan is trying to do against us, it's the blood of Jesus. In other words, God is covering us and all he sees is Christ. And so even when you make a mistake, even when you do wrong, if your heart is renewed in the Lord, if you have surrendered yourself to Christ, then God says you're covered by the blood of Jesus. It is the new covenant. A new contract It is the blood of Jesus. And so that's liberating, isn't it? It's liberating. And so as we go through life, there's no sin that you will ever commit that's going to send you to hell except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That means saying that something is of the devil when it was really of God, or renouncing what Christ has done at the cross. Once you deny Jesus, then all of your sins come right back to you. And now you pay your own sin debt. Now you have to pay your debt because you're not accepting or receiving the work that Christ has done in order to give us life. And so we are liberated today because Christ has come into the world. Christ paid for the sins of the world. Do you know John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. You're good Bible students. Hallelujah. Either that or you watch a lot of football. I don't know. Hallelujah. You see those signs going up all the time. And so we know that Jesus came to die for the sins of the world. He did not come to condemn the world. That's the next verse, right? But that through him, the world would be saved. Christ didn't come to condemn the world. He said, the world is condemned already. So the next time somebody says, oh, don't condemn me, I'm like, I'm not condemning you. You're already condemned. I'm here to try to help you. I'm throwing you the lifeline to pull you out. I'm trying to help you overcome. I'm not here to try to, look, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not fishing in your sea of forgetfulness either. I'm just telling you, you don't have to keep swimming in the cesspool of life. But you can come clean by the blood of Jesus. And saints of God, this is the hope that we testify of. This is what we share. And this is what we need people to understand. Jesus said, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. And when you come to Christ, everything is made new. In fact, it was Paul who said, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. Without the shedding of blood, there's no cleansing from sin. That is why in the Old Testament, they took the lamb that was slain and they would take the blood from it and they would sprinkle it on the altar in the Holy of Holies, in the temple of God. And that blood would represent forgiveness of sin. But the problem was that sheep and goats and these animals, that was a temporary fix. Why? Because they're earthly animals. And so God said their blood covering was only good for 1 year. And that is why Jesus had to come. Do you know why Jesus had to come? Because Jesus' blood is eternal. You see, he was born of a Virgin Mary. Guess who his father is? The Spirit of God impregnated her, imparted Christ into her. That is where the blood comes from. The blood in any human comes through the Father's line. And guess who Jesus' father was? Our Heavenly Father. Guess how long our Heavenly Father lives? Forever. And that is why the blood of Jesus covers you for all eternity, because your Heavenly Father's bloodline, you're born from above. You're born of God. You're born of the Spirit. This is what it means to be a child of God. This is what it means to be a Christian. You are no longer the same. Everything is brand new. Even your past has been rerouted up through God your Father. So you are no longer rooted in the flesh. You are a new creation in Christ. God says, I created you a do-over. Brand new. Oh, saints of God, you cannot forget this stuff. You cannot forget this stuff. Don't allow Satan to depress you or to bring you down, to make you feel worthless or like you're a nobody. You are new in Christ, and Christ is in you, and you are in him, and he is doing a new thing in your life. Yes, you are being transformed. Yes, you are making mistakes in your flesh, but God says, don't worry, you are covered by the blood of Jesus. God is making a way for you. If your heart is pure, if your heart is right, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so join us as we pray this prayer of forgiveness. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the forgiveness of sin, Lord God, yes, by the pouring out of your son's blood, Lord. That pouring out was intentional, Lord God. It wasn't scattered. It wasn't splattered. It was poured out with a purpose, Lord God. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, to be on the receiving end of that purpose, O Lord. Yes. And Lord, I just pray that your blood would wash through us, Heavenly Father, and that we would not allow the enemy to bring up our past mistakes, Lord God, that we would not allow the enemy to bring up the past that we have already lived, O God, yes, because you have promised us a new future, Heavenly Father. So, Lord, let us be able to live in that new future, Lord God. Let us be able to move forward and keep our focus, Lord God, on the mission that you have placed in our lives, O God. Let this blood, Lord God, let it just go through all of our hearts, Lord God. Let no compartment be untouched by that blood, Lord God. Any secret unconfessed sin, Lord God, let us give it all unto you, Lord God. For when we give it all to you, Lord God, we will be able to operate in the anointing, Heavenly Father, that you have called us to operate in, Lord. So help us, Heavenly Father, as we continue to move forward. And thank you, O God, for the cup of your son's blood in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Matthew 26, 27 and 28 says, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. Now, we all have individual cups. I know Jesus had one cup and he shared it, but we're living in the day of cooties and coronavirus and people concerned, so we will use our cups. But know that the blood of Jesus is a reminder of just how much God has done for us, how much your past and your sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus reminds us of what Christ has done. He suffered and paid our sin debt, and the blood that he shed was to cover our sins for all eternity. And because of your faith and your trust in Jesus, you are made new. Saints of God, as he says here in this passage, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let us remember this as we drink together. Hallelujah. It's powerful stuff, son. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' cup was bigger than these. I think we've been cheated somehow. But hallelujah. And how awesome it is to be reminded, just to remember how much Christ has done for you. Doesn't that take a burden off of you? Doesn't that liberate you? Doesn't that give you more confidence in who you are and what you can do? Nothing is impossible for us. Nothing is impossible. Don't hold on to the weight of sin. Don't hold on to evil and darkness. Don't celebrate what others are doing wrong and what people, the mistakes people have made. But see and remember what Christ has done and what God is doing in and through everyone you know. God is using people everywhere. Remember what God has done. Hallelujah. Even the wealth of the sinner, the word of God says, is stored up for the righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you and I have every reason to seek out the good and let the bad wash away. Allow the wisdom of God to be manifested in our lives. In verse 27 of Matthew 26, he says, "And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you.'" Everyone is covered. You're covered. I'm covered. Your coworkers are covered. Your neighbors are covered. Your crazy relatives are covered. Everybody is covered. All they need to do is acknowledge Christ. All they need to do is call upon the name of the Lord. And all they need to understand is that somebody's cooking bread. Somebody is cooking bread. And I pray that you're cooking bread today. I pray that you're testifying and telling others about what God has done in your life, how he's changed you, how he's opened doors for you, how he's made a way for you. That's cooking bread. That's putting the loaf in the oven and heating it up so that every opportunity you have to share this, the smell and the fragrances of God go out. And people are being drawn to Jesus because of the testimony of your life and how you have made your commitment to God. Well, with that, I thank you, brothers, for helping me out with this illustration today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Feel free to take some bread and some grapes with you. It's a lovely thing. Hallelujah. And so, one of the aspects of this story that we often don't remember is what Paul brings out here in 1 Corinthians 11 as we prepare to close. And he says in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread." And so here he is in the letters of to the Corinthian church, reminding them of what Christ did. Now, Paul was not there, but yet when he met with Jesus, God revealed this whole detail to him, which is interesting in and of itself. This is really something you should look into and study, because it's really a powerful testimony of how Paul came to become a disciple that took Judas's place, many theologians would say. And so it says in verse 24, "When he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And remember, when you see that phrase, "which is for you," it's for your payment of your sin debt. His body was given as a sacrifice, like the lamb, as payment for our sin debt, the sins of the world. That is what is so powerful in this. He says, whenever we are reminded, when we gather together to do this in remembrance of him. In verse 25, he says, "In the same way he took the cup, he also, after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Always in remembrance, always as a reminder. Don't ever forget what God is doing in your life, how he's making a way for you, how he's making provision for you, what he's done through other people, and how he's used people to be a blessing to you, and how he has enabled us to overcome many challenges and many differences by being together under the inspiration of God. He says, "As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." In other words, we testify of the very thing that enables people to have life eternal, everlasting life. This is the ordinance of the church that has been established based on the day of deliverance in Egypt, when the Israelites were allowed to live by placing the blood over the door. Do you remember that? And they were able to live as a result of their obedience to putting the blood on the door. The death angel was coming for every house. Every house. And the only house including the Israelites, that would be able to overcome would be if it had the blood on the door. And so the Israelites, if they put the blood on the door, the death angel passed by. But if they didn't put the blood on the door, guess what? The death angel would come to their house. And it's because they didn't believe the word of God. It wasn't so much about being an Israelite. Being an Israelite gave you an opportunity to hear and know what to do. But it was still up to each individual household to make the decision to obey and follow the word of the Lord. And this is what brought deliverance for them. And you and I, every day, we have an opportunity to obey the word of God and to apply the principles of God's word. And the day that we don't, we will suffer the consequences of what we do. And that is why we have to be faithful to God. That is why we must hold on to the truths of God. That is why we must not allow the enemy to deceive us or to cause us to doubt or to take things for granted. But let us persevere, Paul says, in the ways of the Lord. And so he goes on and he says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body or the church and the blood of the Lord. Oh, saints of God, this is saying do not take communion and your relationship with God for granted. Don't take it for granted. It's not a game. It's not just food. What was that behind all this is that the people of the Corinthian church, they started to make a party out of communion, out of coming together. And they would come together and everybody would gobble up all the food and they would eat up everything. And they kind of forgot the whole reason behind having communion, the whole reason that people gathered together, the whole reason that the church met and came together around the word of God and the testimony of the Lord. They forgot, and it just became about eating. And saints of God, we don't want to take God for granted. We don't want to take church for granted. There's a reason we gather together. There's a reason we celebrate communion. It's not just so we can eat and hang out in fellowship. It's so that we can testify of the kingdom of God and remember all that he has done. And that is why you must make the right friends. You have to make friends with people who are going to teach and tell you about what God has done in their life. You want to make friends with people who are going to help you remember the things of God, because the bread of God only lasts one day. It's only good for one day. You can't say, I read my Bible on Sunday in church, and here it is Thursday, and you haven't picked it up again. You need fresh bread every day. You need something to talk about when you go to work. You need something new to share with people as God brings revelation into your life and as you have interactions with the things that life brings your way so that you can demonstrate the testimony of the Lord and how he has brought you through. And so you and I must have a story. And in order for us to overcome, we must remember. And verse 28 says, but a man must examine, or authenticate is the word for examine, and prove genuine himself. In so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And so as we are abiding in the our relationship with God and walking with God, we're representing the kingdom of God. We're remembering what Christ has done. And we are living our lives in a way that's in harmony with the word of God. And that authenticates our relationship with God, that we are genuinely born of the Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit is working in us and through us, and he is bringing the word of God and the things of God to our remembrance so that we can have something to share, to talk about. And so this is what is behind the meaning of communion. He says in verse 29, for he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. In other words, he's saying, if you are not authentic in your relationship with God, in your walk with God, then you will find yourself coming under judgment. In other words, you'll be chastised by the Lord. Have you ever gotten a heavenly spanking? Lord Jesus. In other words, Jesus said, I'm going to bring correction into your life. I am going to chastise you. The scripture says that he chastises whom he loves. He disciplines whom he loves. In other words, I'm going to give you a beating if you do not do the right thing. You're going to get a spanking. Have you ever got a spanking from the Lord? Let me tell you something. I've had some spankings. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And I tell you, after the Lord spanks you, you don't do that again. Hallelujah. You will not do that again. Hallelujah. And this is how you know God loves you, because the goal is to sustain us until the end. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And God says, I'm going to discipline you so that you can make it. I'm going to keep you in check. He goes on, Paul, and he says, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep or die. And saints of God, how many people are sick and weak and even have died because they're misrepresenting God, because they are taking for granted their relationship with God or the church and the things of God? Oh, saints of God, I know you don't hear this much. You don't hear people preach on this, right? You ever hear anybody talk about this verse? No, you don't hear about this too often. Very rarely. And saints of God, we have to be careful that we rightly represent the kingdom of God and what is true. So often we pray for people and says, oh, they prayed and nothing happened. Well, there's more to that story. There's more to that story. And sometimes we think things are a certain way, but God really knows. And saints of God, don't find yourself in this place, but authenticate your walk with God, your relationship with God, and allow God to manifest himself in your life. He says finally, but if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. Hallelujah. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Hallelujah. Spank me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Discipline me, Lord. Hallelujah. Because that is, you do not want to be condemned with the world, do you? No, no, no. So I'll take a beating. How many of you are taking a beating? Hallelujah. I'm like looking for Lord. Lord, fix me, God. Fix me. Hallelujah. Yes, God, I need the correction and I'm willing. I'm surrendering. God, have your way. He says, if you confess your sins, you confess your faults, he says that he is faithful and just to forgive us. Oh, hallelujah. Saints of God, God will make a way for you. He loves you and he cares for you that much. When you feel like you're going through the fire, like you're in the oven, like your bread is not just cooking, it's burning. Hallelujah. Maybe it's just the discipline of the Lord. He's saying, oh, I'm going to give you that crispy crust. And that butter on the inside will melt in there with, the aroma will come up. And saints of God, as we go through life, sometimes the fire is on us, but that just makes the smell go further. God is renewing us. God is reviving us. He's turning us into fresh bread. He's making us to be like him so that we can testify as the word comes to life in us, as we become the people of God, as we experience him. As Paul says, or said here in Acts, I think it's Peter, he says, so then those who had received his word were baptized. That day they were added about 3,000 souls. Hallelujah. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. This is what fresh bread looks like. You and I need to be abiding in the word of God. abiding in the teaching of the Word of God and the fellowship of the saints. Don't let the enemy rob you of good, godly fellowship, coming together in one accord so that bread can be broken and that we can pray for one another, so that we can testify of the things of God, so that you can be motivated, encouraged, and lifted up, so that God can be glorified in your life. And finally, he says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Oh, I don't know about you, but I love the presence of God. It makes you feel that sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And saints of God, God will do amazing and wonderful works in the midst of us when we have faith in God, when we come together, when we fellowship with one another, when we're all faithful to the truth of God's word, when we abide in him and allow the Spirit of God to mold us and shape us, when we are cleansed from our sin and the Spirit of God makes us new. And all those who had believed were gathered together and had all things in common, the scripture says. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And I believe in the last days we're going to see this again. I believe that as the Antichrist rises and we see the evil increasing in the world, it's going to be harder and harder for Christians to actually be Christians. And you're going to see a great falling away. It's already begun to happen. I'm sure you know of people yourself that used to go to church. They don't go anymore. And now they're following the ways of the world. They have a whole carnal mentality and they've fallen away. The Bible talks about this. Don't be surprised. He says even the very elect, if it were possible, will drift away, will fall away. And saints of God, it's a powerful spirit of deception out there. Do not underestimate the power of Satan's deceptions and his ability to deceive even you and me. And that is why you need fresh bread every day. You need fresh bread every day. Don't go based on some story you heard years ago or some knowledge and information that you learned years ago. Have a relationship with God. Abide in his word every day. I pray that you're using our church app and that you're able to go in there and read the Bible verses for today and go through the whole Bible in a year. I pray that you're receiving of God anew and afresh so that you too can have an encounter with God. And finally, he says, day by day, continuing with one mind in the church, in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, I pray that you're visiting each other, going from house to house, encouraging each other in the Lord, helping each other to remember what Christ has done in their lives and in our lives so that we can be fortified, we can be motivated, we can be encouraged so that that aroma of the bread of God can go out and impact people's lives. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Saints of God, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let the praises of God proclaim and magnify the Lord. He says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. I pray that your testimony is leading people to Christ. I pray that your remembrances, your memories of God's working in your life are helping others to come to Christ, that you personally are seeing souls saved, minds renewed, and lives transformed. Each and every one of us has this obligation as the people of God. Jesus in John 6:35 said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Saints of God, I pray that you are hungry for the bread of life today. I pray that you are thirsty for the things of God, that you are not thirsty for the world or the things of the world or hungry for the things of the world, but that you have been satisfied by the bread of life, completely made whole, completely renewed and revived because of fresh bread. Well, I pray that you have tasted and you have seen, and that you have experienced the and behold of God, and that you are remembering all that he has done in order to proclaim and magnify the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Prayer. Fire in the altar, never burn out.
Fire in my altar, never burn out. Fire in my altar, never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Well, saints of God, there is nothing impossible for God. And I challenge you to not allow your past to determine your future. And that you would remember what Christ has done for you. And every time you have communion and we share around the table, that you remember what Christ has done. It's so that you can have a reason to share with others, that you are abiding in the Word of God. Once the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin, we are now able to fellowship with God. Because of His holiness and His purity and His cleanliness, we are able to be reconciled with Him. And Christ has come for that very purpose, that very reason, so that your past would not be used against you. And I pray that your faith and your trust is in Christ today, and that you're examining yourself, and that you are genuine in your relationship with God, in your walk with God, and that you are not allowing the world to affect your thinking, but that you are meditating on the Word of God day and night and day, and that you are allowing the Spirit of the Lord to do a new thing in you. God is transforming us. And one day, the Word of God says, we don't know what we shall be, but we do know this one thing. We will be like Jesus. We will be like Him. And so you might not be like Jesus today, but one day, you will be. And you are on the road of progression as God molds you and shapes you, as He manifests Himself in your life, and He makes you the man or the woman that He's calling you to be. You will overcome. So remember the stories, remember the testimonies, remember the manifestations of God that have taken place in your life. Not only the ones that have already taken place, but the ones that are about to happen this week. God is looking to do a new thing. Look for God. Don't be distracted. Listen to His voice. Follow Him. Abide in His Word. And allow His glory, the aroma of God, to rise up in your life and cause you to have an impact on the people around you, to bring forth souls, life, new life in Christ, 30, 60, and 100-fold. So that the Spirit of God can be glorified. In Jesus' name. Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today. And as we go out of these doors, Lord, we ask that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up and exalted, that there would be a manifestation of your Holy Spirit among us, and that we would smell like fresh bread, the aroma of Jesus, the sweet smelling savor of God. Lord, use us to be your witnesses. Let us have a fresh word every day as you speak to us through the word of God, and that we would have a testimony to share so that lives can be changed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you all, and thank you for coming to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. And I pray the Spirit of the Lord will make you a house of prayer, and that you will seek His face and allow the sweet aroma of God to arise in your life to impact the lives of everyone around you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. House of prayer, your house of prayer.